welcome to the Napcast. My name is David.
And my name is Seth. And we have a guest returning with us today. Hey. We have Abby back on the show.
Hey, guys.
All right, Abby. So as our guest on the show, we're going to ask you a random question. So, Abby, if you had to dye your hair, which is quite the premise, what color would you dye it?
Right off the bat.
It has always
been
kind of one of those like secret dreams to dye my hair blue.
Blue? Like really? What shade of blue?
It's like that gradient blue. You know
Ooh.
What I mean? Like going from light to dark. I always thought that would look really cool.
Would it be primarily dark or primarily light? Would it be like a deep blue?
It would probably be primarily darker tones.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm. I'm
in love with that shade of blue.
Because blue.
We both went completely different places.
Looks good on the sky.
Good to be back, guys. But yeah, for some reason, I have always had this weird thing where it's like, I feel like if I dyed my hair blue, I would feel like a fairy 24/7, which would be pretty sweet.
Doesn't
that
seem like
would
a bad thing.
Awesome.
It would be pretty nice.
All right, so now you have the chance to ask either one of us or both any question you'd like.
Okay, this time I'm actually going to ask you guys like one of those kind of stereotypical questions about having absolute pitch.
Okay.
Is like when you listen to the radio, do you ever notice mistakes that the singers make and like it drives you crazy because it happened in recording?
Well, I will say very rarely do I listen to the radio, which is a problem. I should probably listen to that more.
Maybe.
Too mainstream, you know.
Now, are you saying in like covers of songs or like in the song itself?
No, see, that's what gets me. Like if I'm listening to a live performance of a song or a cover, I will notice mistakes far more frequently. It doesn't ruin my enjoyment for the most part.
I mean, most of the time, it's fine. There are some times where it's like, okay, that note, you should have done better on that note. That's an important note. And messed it up. There are some times I get bugged if someone does it live and it's in a different key. Because some people perform it in a different key than they recorded it in. Now, sometimes when they perform it, it's actually a better key and I like it better.
Oh, yeah.
But more often than not, whatever the original recording is, when I listen to that, I like that one better. I'm more familiar with that one. And then when I hear them do it live, They just did it wrong.
Well, yeah, it breaks your expectations of what the key is supposed to sound like.
It changes
like.
The mood of the song, unfortunately.
Sometimes it does. I mean, certain keys lend themselves more towards certain emotions.
Definitely. Does that answer your question?
Kind of, yeah. And I also feel like if you're going to record a song in a key, why would you record it in a key that you're not going to sing
maybe
live?
Maybe if you can't hit it live,
maybe.
You do it once in the studio and you'd rather do it that way.
Maybe.
I
mean, that might be it.
All right, so our topic for the day is...
Controversial.
It is the Star Wars prequels. However,
we're
not going to do what we expect. It's going to be things that we actually liked about the Star Wars prequels.
What?
So I'm going to start us off just as a groundbreaking point. Give me a spoon quick and I'm going to... references. All right, so just to start things off, episode 3, the fight scene between Obi-Wan and Anakin, my favorite part of that... is the music. I'm gonna have to go with the music from that part. You know this, I forget, it's not Duel of the Fates, it's the other one.
Battle of the Heroes.
Battle of the Heroes.
Is the name of that
I really
track.
Like that song. I mean, John Williams is amazing. He does really well.
Yes, this is John Williams.
And despite the fight kind of going on a little long and sometimes seeming cheesy, the music is really, really good.
Yes.
And I like that. I mean, that's one thing I just really like.
The score for Star Wars is really good.
That's one thing that all of the Star Wars movies, well, most of them, I should say, have done really well.
Is having
is
a good soundtrack?
Music.
Which one hasn't? Or was that Rogue One?
That was Rogue One, I felt, and Episode 7 were both a little bit bland as far as soundtracks go, but that's not what we're talking about.
Right. We don't want to get you started on Episode 7.
That's another episode. Yeah, so jumping back, so episode 3, I really like the music of the fight scene, though I really like the music of the entirety of it, because John Williams is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So amazing.
One of my favorite moments in episode 3 is the fact that Han Solo was proven right, darn it.
In which part?
The very first line, well, one of the very first lines that Han Solo says in A New Hope is, "Hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side." And then that's proved... in episode 3 when Obi-Wan shoots Grievous.
But then he says, "So uncivilized," and tosses the blaster
exactly.
aside.
Yeah, exactly. He immediately insults it after using
it. But I don't actually know. I originally thought he was insulting the blaster, but maybe he was talking about Grievous himself, running
maybe.
Away from the fights. And
either
everything.
One. I'm still not sure, to be honest. I just liked that.
But that is a cool scene, too.
I'm not sure if they meant to include it like that, but either way, they did. And so that's one of my favorite moments from episode 3.
I do like that, where Grievous comes out and he's got like these forearms, they're flailing around, and Obi-Wan just stands there and takes off two of his hands right away and then shoots him later. That's actually, I really like that fight scene.
Yeah,
that, well. That is a good fight scene.
It's a good moment there. I'm trying to think of a moment from episode two that I'd be like, it's been a while since I've seen it. I got to think, that was, Anakin was younger, but he wasn't the little kid.
Isn't that the entire episode where like the Anakin and Padme romance really happened?
Oh, that's right.
I remember just hating that so much. But we're not going to talk about what we hate.
Okay.
That's what
we're
here for.
Actually, talking about that scene, one of my favorite moments in episode two comes from a comic book based around the Star Wars films. So, rabbit trailing slightly. Okay. There's a play that someone wrote called Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
Yes,
and
it's
it's based around two minor characters from Hamlet named Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Who die.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Shakespeare fan
they
over
parodied
here.
That with a comic called Tag and Bink Are Dead, which is two minor characters from, they just show up. In
like the Clone Wars or something?
They should actually show up in A New Hope.
Oh.
And then they end up dying on the second Death Star at the end of episode six. But they did a prequel to that where Tag and Bink are Jedi apprentices that accidentally get stuck with Anakin when he's on Naboo. And so Anakin is like talking to them. He's like, yeah, I really like this girl, but I don't know how to tell her that. And so they like write out all these things that he should tell Padme.
Oh, no.
And then it cuts to the scene of them afterwards. And they're like, what did you do? She's like, sorry, I just got flustered.
I couldn't think of anything.
And like, one of them is like sand. Oh, come on. I don't like sand. What kind of a line is that? It's the best thing.
That's one way to salvage that, to be honest.
I know. It just made that scene so much better.
That is fantastic.
Speaking of like extra material relating right directly to those movies, you've read by Matthew Stover, I believe it was, the book version of episode three.
Oh, yes.
Where he basically tells the story of episode three as it was portrayed in the movie, but he makes it a book. So he adds different things like what the characters were thinking. He adds these descriptions and different things like that. It fills in the middle of the story with like extra content directly for the reader.
Well, talking about that, actually, my favorite moment from that book is every so often he'll go into like, this is what it feels to be whatever character right now. It's usually Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, for the other characters, he always does, this is how it feels to be Mace Windu, or this is how it feels to be Obi-Wan, or something like that. He's a meadow with light shining in it while Anakin's a stormcloud, or whatever.
Yeah.
But then for Anakin, it's always, this is how it feels to be Anakin right now.
Yeah.
And then this is how it feels to be Anakin and Obi-Wan, and then Anakin right now. And then at the very end, when he's finally Darth Vader, this is how it feels to be Anakin forever. And it's so cool.
Novelizations of movies like that are always great because they give you kind of a peek inside of the character's head that you don't always get from the film.
If it's well done, it can be done incorrectly
and then it's super cringy.
It's terrible.
But
I felt like this novelization was actually done pretty well.
It was. I enjoyed reading it, and it makes me that like when I watch episode three now, I'm thinking more of how things were in the book, which are still the same story, but like how things were like described in the book and like the inner thought processes of people and those sections that you mentioned, like this is how it feels.
Mm-hmm.
I think of that and it makes episode three better for me. Like I enjoy
it really
watching
does.
It. So that's why most of my favorite moments come from episode three is because of that book, to be honest.
So mine won't sound quite as maybe informed as yours is. I know less about the extended universe, but I remember I watched the Star Wars movies for the first time. I watched it episode 1 through episode 6. I did not watch it 4, 5, 6, and then 1, 2, 3.
Interesting.
Which I will probably get in trouble for, but I did. That's just the way I watched the progression. So I watched the progression of the story without knowing how it ended.
Interesting.
Okay. And so,
which that could be an interesting way to...
It like was that, a very interesting way to process the whole thing. Because I knew that Anakin Skywalker would eventually become Darth Vader, but I didn't know how.
Okay.
And so it was a very strange progression.
I almost
want
to meet
head.
Someone who doesn't know anything about it and watches Anakin grow up just to see from that perspective rather than knowing, oh, he's already Darth Vader. Oh, he's going to become Darth Vader. Why does he become Darth Vader? You know, that sort of thing. It's like, see the whole story from start to finish.
And there are two, I remember there are two moments in the movies and the prequels that really stuck with me. The first one was the fight scene between Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and Darth Maul.
Ooh,
which is a good fight scene.
It was a really good fight scene. It was like
the
first real immersion in the fight scenes of Star Wars. And I was like, this is amazing.
And then episode four rolls around.
Yeah, but it just like, it pulled me in. That was one of the things that really pulled me into the universe. And then I remember, I think, was it in episode three where Anakin goes to kill the younglings?
Yes.
I just realized right as he goes over there and he turns his lightsaber on. And that moment
that
there,
scene.
It struck
it's
me. I was like, he is taking that step And that's the one that you can't go back
that's
from.
That's irreversible.
The music.
And I just remember, after that scene, I got this huge feeling. I was like, whoa, this guy is seriously, is not the same person I saw in episode one. So those are two places, those things, they stuck with me because of the story, the parts of the story that really drew me in. And those are just big moments, not for the score or necessarily the acting, but because of what they did to me in the story itself.
That's one thing that I do like about episode three is that basically the entire like last half, the second and third acts of episode three, they up the ante and make things more and more dramatic, but like in a good way, where it feels like there's a ton of stuff going on, there's a ton of weight to everything, and then it just gets more tense and more tense and more tense, and finally there's like a battle here and a battle here and a battle here and a battle here, and then boom, all the younglings are dead. And then
everything just goes crazy, and it's just, it feels like everything everywhere.
This is
just
your like father's lightsaber. He killed a bunch of younglings with them.
But it feels like everything just like all of a sudden unravels at that point.
All that tension that was building up is suddenly released.
But it does it in actually a pretty cool way. Like, I kind of like how that does. Yeah. How that does it. People give episode three a lot of hate because it turns Anakin into the very whiny character that he already was in episode two.
Yeah, he was already like that. I don't know why people get so mad about that.
I mean, I would have loved to see episode three or episode two where he wasn't a whiny kid, where he was like a tragic hero, where he wasn't like misguided, where he was, or instead of being like a bratty kid, where he was doing everything with actually very, very good intentions rather than, oh, I want to save my wife.
I think that's the way he was supposed to be. It just didn't quite come across.
I feel like they definitely tried, but I feel like it could have been done better.
Yeah.
I would argue that's what they're trying to do with Kylo Ren as well. I know you don't really like him, Seth, but I would argue they're trying to make him that tragic character, but I think they're falling into the whiny spectrum kind of like they did with Anakin.
Apparently, that's very easy to fall into.
I guess so.
Apparently.
Well, it's just easy to do it with Star Wars characters for whatever reason.
They can't display their angst correctly.
Although, a character that is not whiny at all is Obi-Wan. That's one of my favorite things about the prequels is the character of Obi-Wan.
I was actually gonna touch on
that. And the fact
that
he's the straight man to two different characters in sequence.
But he does it well.
He's the guy that's like, wait, no, you gotta think about this. Nope, wait, you gotta do this.
There are rules for a reason.
Exactly. He plays the straight man to Qui-Gon in the first episode, and then after that, he plays the straight man to Anakin in two successive episodes, and it's just beautiful.
And not only that, but he can quip these little one-liners here and there, and we laugh, because they're good.
I remember noticing that is that he went from having to deal with Qui-Gon to having to deal with Anakin, and I was like, this guy doesn't get a break.
I know, it's poor like, guy. What would have
and then
happened?
He had to deal with Luke. But he actually did well there, though.
Okay, Luke was better. Luke wasn't quite as headstrong as Anakin or Qui-Gon.
Yeah, he was still kind of whiny, though, at least at first.
He was, but he turned out really well.
He turned out a lot better, especially in the books,
which we're not supposed to touch on because that's a different episode as well.
No.
That is a completely
If we
different
start
episode.
Going into stuff like that, we'll never stop.
That's going to be a really long episode because both David and myself know quite a bit about the extended universe.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. I've heard you both rant about them at times. So. Yeah.
Getting back to the prequels, one of my favorite characters from the prequels, though, is actually Jango Fett.
Really?
I do like his armor, of all things. Like, I like that he has a jetpack, and I love, like, the bluish and how that, like, it kind of becomes greenish later for Boba Fett.
Yeah.
But I like Jango. Like, his armor looks more complete than Boba Fett's. He looks like he has a more, like, a full set of armor. It looks like his armor is cooler, in my opinion, even though it's basically the same armor.
Well,
it's
also, what, 33 years younger than the first time we saw it.
That's true. I like his whole arsenal of weapons. I like how he actually uses the rocket on his back.
Yeah.
And things like that. I like how he has more lines than
he's no good to me dead.
With Boba Fett, I think he had 5 lines and then
something
died.
Like that.
Or fake died, depending on if you actually treat the books as canon.
Yeah, his death in the movies, at least for Boba Fett, is kinda lame, isn't it?
It's lame, but it's also it wasn't actually a death according to the books, but the books aren't technically canon, so now I have no idea.
Yeah, that's right. They said the books aren't canon anymore, did they?
But, I mean, there's still the opportunity for them to turn Boba Fett into a movie and have him still survive. It would be the same as the book, which is a shame because I really liked that book.
Yeah, that's a good book.
But they still have the opportunity. They could be like, oh, he didn't actually die. And people complained for like, oh, they brought this character back. But to be fair, Star Wars has done that before with Darth Maul from the prequels, who was supposed to have died.
People don't like characters to stay dead. Let's just be
Apparently
honest.
Apparently not.
That's true.
Nobody dies permanently.
Which is why things like Game of Thrones are so shocking, because it's like, this character actually died.
And like, they're staying dead.
And they're staying dead. Come That's the other important
Even
part of that.
Even Qui-Gon, who actually does die, he still comes back and has like influence on the plot. Like in episode three, he comes back.
A little bit.
Like, I mean, he's dead, but not like fully dead.
I mean, he's still.
I mean, force ghosts do help with that whole death situation too.
Right.
I'm still sort of here, but not really. Because I'm dead.
But I do kind of like how they brought Qui-Gon back. I just kind of, it feels kind of clunky because in episodes 4 through 6, there's no Qui-Gon, but there's an Obi-Wan and there's a Yoda who learned it from Qui-Gon, you know? And he just doesn't ever show up. Although,
one thing that they do mention at least at one point in, again, we're talking about the books, but they mentioned that Force ghosts don't always stick around forever.
That's true. Like, Ben faded after a while, I believe, and Yoda, I don't actually remember when he faded. But this is entirely unrelated. I don't even know if it was in a book. I think it was in a, something I found online that was like a journal by Darth Vader, in a sense.
Darth Vader's diary.
Today I killed a bunch of younglings and it was really sad because I got my arms burnt off.
This was actually later in life when he was like with the Emperor. And the whole point of
diary.
It. Dear diary. I can't do it. I don't have my voice from last time.
I know I can't hit that note, but
in this diary, he was talking about how he would like lose his leg for something, and he'd lose his hand if whatever, you have to get it replaced for like punishments or something from the Emperor. And one of the things, like he recently got a new left leg and it was acting up. One of the things is that he kept seeing visions from Qui-Gon in that whole story.
Interesting.
Like Qui-Gon kept showing up and like trying to convince him, and he would keep not listening. And I don't remember exactly how it works, but I feel like part of that was canon. Well, was canon, you know? But like that became part of the canon story where Qui-Gon had been trying to visit Anakin and it never worked out until Luke showed up.
Interesting.
That's interesting because Qui-Gon is the one that like really believed in him in the first place, too. Yeah.
Which is what would make that more powerful, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so that was one of my favorite things to think about as far as the prequels were concerned. It's like, what would have happened if Qui-Gon hadn't died on Naboo? Like, what would have happened if he had actually trained Anakin?
Palpatine would have had a lot harder of a time.
Like, I don't think we would have had the original trilogy.
Which is to say, that's why that couldn't have happened. He was doomed by canon.
He was doomed by canon.
I think also...
Except not actually, but he was.
I think also Qui-Gon probably would have understood Anakin's rebellion against some of the rules a bit better, because Qui-Gon was also like that.
Yeah.
Whereas Obi-Wan was a very by-the-book person.
So they drove each other nuts.
Yeah, and so I feel like Qui-Gon might have actually... I mean, they both would have driven Obi-Wan nuts, but at the same time, he might have provided some justification for Anakin's feelings instead of just always being told, okay, that's bad, just suppress it, don't deal with it, you can't think that way.
Okay, side note, can somebody in the audience out there just draw some fan art of Qui-Gon and Anakin giving Obi-Wan a hard time? I really, really want to see that.
It's probably out there already.
As if Qui-Gon was
on.
Like older, but mentoring an older Anakin, and Obi-Wan's just over there like, not again. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. So once again, Abby, we'll let you pick a random note for us, and then Seth and I will do our best to harmonize and sing the word goodbye.
How about, I'm just saying a little harder, how about like an F sharp?
An F sharp. I believe we've had one of those
we
before.
We did that last week.
Oh, no, do I have to choose something else now?
No, you don't have to. We can try it again.
We'll just do a different interval.
Because there's only technically 12 keys. What if we go with, since my voice is kind of shot, I'll sing the low F sharp, and we'll have you sing the third. And then you slide up to the fifth.
Yeah, that'll work.
Ready?
Goodbye.
Beautiful.